the Other Side of the Sky, written by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner, and read by Jonathan McLean and Caitlin Davies.
The floating market takes shape amid a flutter of torches and spellfire, each pinprick of light tailed by its glittering reflection in the river beneath. The sun is still below the horizon, though hints of peach and copper streak the underside of the cloudlands, hanging far above the clutter of our market. Monstrous shadows slip from the pre-dawn gloom, gliding with the current toward the growing city upon the water, only to reveal themselves as houses and workshops, food stalls and vendors' platforms. I used to watch the floating market arrive every month. River folk from leagues away converge upon the floodplains below the temple, steering their homes by sail and oar and pole across the broad, slow river as it spills over its banks into the forest sea. In mere hours, the gentle curve of the river becomes a bustling city, each solitary barge of reeds joining together in a single, teeming, intricate whole. It has always thrilled me, watching the transformation of my world. But every time, the thrill pales a little more against the torture of not being able to enjoy the market with the rest of my people. This is the first time I've been on the river during the mooring in years. The view from the temple sanctum is quiet and remote. From there, I cannot smell the charcoal and peat as the cooks and bakers heat their ovens, cannot hear the laughter of the children still too young to help their parents with the ropes, cannot feel the pulsing syncopation of feet and currents shifting the floating market streets underfoot. My memories before the temple are dim at best, but once I was one of those children. The smell of grilling meat and spice bread meant I would get a treat if I was well-behaved. The laughter was the sound of my friends calling me to join them at play, and the footsteps that pounded up and down the thick reed streets were mine. Some years back, I tried sneaking into the market in a handmaiden's borrowed clothing, but whatever ease and safety I'd felt as a child in this place had long since bled away. I barely made it down one street before the crowds pressed in so close that I had to flee, straight into the panicked protection of the guards searching for me. Now, I'm alone. I'm not so foolish these days as to try to disguise myself, for it would be far too easy for someone to brush against me or take my arm in an attempt to sell me a bauble. Even the tiniest children know what the deep red of my robe and the kohl rimming my eyes signify. They know it before they can walk. But even after all the time I've spent watching the river folk bustling to and fro, the crowds draw out a deep, quiet unease that throbs like the ache of an old injury. Despite the fact that I wear my red robes and gold circlet, the traditional garments of divinity that warn against coming too close, someone could still accidentally touch me. Being here is so risky, it borders on reckless. But the politicians and priests who govern my life have left me no choice.